Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. Joining me in a few minutes is Steve Kolaszewski. Well, if you've been watching VFN TV, we've been talking about Israel in a recent program and how presently the world's eyes have been focused on ISIS and on terrorism, but we discussed the importance of remembering about keeping our eyes focused on Israel and Israel's enemies. We also shared about how Israel, the Israeli Defense Force, has the most moral military in the world. And today, we're going to show you proof of that. This is amazing. The Israeli Defense Force, so much has been said negatively about Israel, about their military, and yet so very little is shared and highlighted about all the humanitarian efforts that they undertake. Stuff that they do, that they risk their lives and they spend their own money. We have special footage that we're going to show you today of an elite commando unit who went to the Syrian border, opened its gates to do what? Rescue a wounded Islamic militant. Their own enemy, they brought him in, as they've done 2,000 other times since 2013, at a cost of $8.7 million to heal and to give medical treatment to those fighters. Israel is on the front line of not just helping Israelis, but of all people. And I want you to watch this. This was very encouraging. It was a courageous thing to do. And they do it day in and day out with little attention or any news coverage. But today, you're going to watch and see what the Israeli Defense Force and what Israel really is all about. Watch this.
It's quite an extraordinary moment here. I'm about 2 miles, 2 kilometers from the Syrian border in an old cemetery. And behind me, there are Israeli troops massing. There's a jeep, there's an ambulance, and over here on the far side, I don't know if you can see it, there's an armored vehicle as well, because it's a dangerous operation. They're going to be rescuing 4 wounded Syrians, badly wounded Syrians, including fighters, from the border and bringing them into Israel for treatment. And also they're going to be taking some Syrians who've been treated and delivering them back over the border into Syria. This is quite a remarkable operation for the Israeli Defense Forces to carry out, considering the fact that they are officially at war with Syria.
The journey to the Syrian border is tense, but the soldiers find what they're looking for: an unconscious alleged rebel militant with serious gunshot wounds who's been dumped just across the border. They give him first aid and transfer him as quickly as possible to an armored vehicle, as there's a real risk of ambush. In Syria, forces loyal to Assad, supported heavily by Shia Iran and Hezbollah, are fighting Sunni rebels and jihadis. It's these Sunni rebels that Israeli medics are helping. Analysts believe that Israel is acting on the basis that my enemy's enemy is my friend, as by far its number one threat is Iran and Hezbollah. Israel, however, points out that it also treats civilians.
How do you feel going towards it, going right up to the fence? That must be pretty dangerous.
Today I think that the most dangerous mission that the Israeli soldier has is to approach the fence, open the gates and enter Syrian civilians.
The most dangerous?
Yes, because it's the only time that we open the gates.
A treated alleged militant is now being taken back to Syria. He's one of 2,000 Syrians Israel has helped, but this is the first time it's been filmed. Needless to say, it's strange to witness Israel helping Islamist fighters. One Israeli official told me it's an insurance policy that makes Israel safer, as the militants know that if they turned their guns on Israel, the medical help would be withdrawn.
אני מפריד את מה שקורה בעזה או בכל מקום אחר, כי שם אנחנו חייבים להתנהג בהתאם.
From Israel's point of view, this is an opportunity to try to win hearts and minds over the border. Whether this will be effective or not, only time will tell.
Absolutely amazing. This is Israel. You just saw it. The Israeli Defense Force risking their lives, opening up the gates, the borders, and they're going in to extract and to bring healing. No matter what the narrative is, we must be reminded of the good that Israel does, and we must be ones that continue to share on a continual basis. Something is up, and don't be surprised. While Israel's enemies are trying to gather nuclear weapons to destroy them, Israel's sitting back quietly, but don't be surprised if Israel strikes to defend themselves. And as soon as they do, you know that a narrative is going to be going out. We must be ones that know the truth and continue to share it. When we get back from this break, you're going to hear from Israeli ambassador Ron Dermer as he begins to share about the morality of the Israeli soldiers, that they're moral, basically, and that the Israeli Defense Force, they should be awarded a Nobel Peace Prize. Join us when we get right back from this break. Thank you for joining us today. We want to wish you all a very Merry Christmas. But Steve, you know, we were talking about Israel and the Israeli Defense Force and their courageous and heroic efforts that they undertake on a daily basis, which many people around the world don't even know about. But they've been doing this not just for the camera, but reports are over 2,000 times at the tune of $8.7 million. It's huge.
Yeah, you know, you're hearing him say the fact that the only time that they open the gate is to go into Syria and basically bring medical aid to the very ones that, you know, like we were talking about during the break, that could have been bullets exchanged in a firefight with Israel. I mean, I don't know, but to think about that you're going in and now helping those that are filled with such hate towards you.
Well, reportedly, and we'll make this all related for you, they work out some sort of arrangement. No one knows the details of how Israel is alerted that, by the way, we've got four wounded Syrians on the border. Would you help them? The Israeli intelligence makes sure that this is not an ambush, because you're right, they can be ambushed. And once the Israeli intelligence clears it and says, hey, it doesn't seem like this is an ambush, go ahead and go rescue them.
Yeah.
Understand, they're not rescuing their own people. They're rescuing their actual enemies that are involved in the Syrian conflict, and they're providing medical aid and attention. And then the ones that they've taken care of, they're releasing them back into their own territory. This is what a lieutenant colonel said. He said, I'm proud of what we're doing here, but it is a great burden. For every Syrian in a hospital, there's one less bed for an Israeli. One day, we'll have to make a choice between an Israeli life and a Syrian one. And when that happens, it will be hard, but I have to say that my first duty will be to the Israelis. That is amazing. And the Israeli Defense Force should be applauded for this. They should be recognized. And, you know, I like to think about what Ambassador Ron Dermer said, Israeli ambassador. He says that Israel deserves a Nobel Peace Prize. We are going to have a connect the dots moment for you. And we like to do this on VFN TV. If you haven't seen this before, Connect the Dots moment is when we bring back some of the things that we've talked about already in times past on this program and relate them to what is actually happening right now. Sometimes we think that this is new news, but actually this is a deeper development or maybe new to us now. But we're actually connecting the dots. And in this Connect the Dot moment, you're going to be hearing Greg talk about Israel, about Ambassador Ron Dermer as he speaks before Christians United for Israel, and it's a night to honor Israel, and he talks about the Israeli Defense Force. And in this speech, which was amazing, he talks about how Winston Churchill responded when Great Britain was actually bombed and this campaign that he did. And it was brutal. And he says that, you know, it's not criticizing Winston Churchill, but he's saying Israel did not respond to that when Hamas was shooting all of these rockets, over 10,000 into Israel, that Israel took all of these efforts to make sure that civilian lives were not damaged. Phone calls, leaflets, you know, text messages. I want you to listen to this Connected Dots moment as we bring more of this narrative out and give you greater context to understand and appreciate the Israeli Defense Force and what they're doing, not only to protect the Middle East, but I believe they would have our back, the United States, as well. Watch this.
We're going to have the ambassadors. He just spoke just last night, so you're going to hear it in fresh and seeing it fresh if you're watching us on VFN TV.
And you know, listen, this is Israel's ambassador to us. How fresh can you get other than Prime Minister Bibi? But understand, Benjamin Netanyahu realized that the ambassador is going to do more of the detailed talk because he's fighting a war right now. And the prime minister is. And so Ambassador Ron Dermer is going to be speaking in just a moment. And you'll be able to see just last night, hours ago, at the Honoring Israel Night at Christians United for Israel in Washington, D.C. We want you to hear this speech in its entirety. It's last night. This is the Israeli ambassador to the United States, Ron Dermer, as he's addressing Christians United for Israel, a night to honor Israel. Just a very powerful. I mean, you just saw what Jerusalem Post is reporting this morning in Israel, what you're seeing on the news. Now you're going to hear the ambassador speak, and you also hear people in the crowd react. And I want you to watch this.
Thank you. It's a better reception than I got on CNN. Pastor Hagee and Diana, thank you both for your unwavering support for Israel. Sheldon and Mary, I don't know if they're still here. Thank you for being giants of generosity for the Jewish people and the Jewish state. And Senator Graham, thank you for being a lion in the Senate, defending Israel's security and championing the friendship between the United States and Israel. I want to thank the leadership of CUFI, the thousands of Christians who are here tonight, and the millions of Christians across the United States who stand with Israel today and every day. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as we meet here tonight in Washington, thousands of Israeli soldiers are fighting in Gaza, and millions of Israelis are huddled in bomb shelters. 27 Israelis have lost their lives. 25 soldiers, including two American citizens, Max Steinberg and Sean Carmeli, have paid the ultimate price for the defense of Israel. Israel's army is defending our country against the firing of rockets at our cities and against terrorists tunneling under our borders to massacre and kidnap our civilians. But what is at stake is not just a battle between Israel and Hamas. It is a battle between a democratic society that seeks peace with all its neighbors and a terror organization whose charter calls for the destruction of the Jewish state and the genocide of the Jewish people. It is a battle between a free society that allows freedom of speech.
What you're listening to right now, you're listening to people interrupt the ambassador. What's so encouraging with this ambassador is he begins it. It's just like, okay, you know, it wasn't the fact that we were weak. We were just being humble. But let me explain how he deals with this, because it's just outright ignorance. And it's like this, they're standing up for their right to exist and to live. And here they are. This is Christians United for Israel. Somebody obviously planned this moment to be able to come in there and act like they were one. But, you know, Paul said, he said, you know, the wolves will come in amongst your number, warned you day and night. But watch how he deals with this. I mean, we would go back to it, but it's encouraging to watch. Okay, the foolishness is over. We're getting serious. I mean, listen up. Watch this.
Between a free society that allows freedom of speech and between a society where no dissent is allowed. Don't worry, I'll get to the so-called war criminals later. It is a battle between a compassionate country that's dropping leaflets and making phone calls
and sending text messages to save Palestinian civilians, and a brutal terror organization that uses hospitals as military command centers, manufactures rockets next to mosques, and turns UN schools into weapons depots. Israel appreciates that most responsible leaders around the world have supported Israel's right to defend itself. That list includes President Obama, President Hollande of France, Chancellor Merkel of Germany, Prime Minister Cameron of Great Britain, Prime Minister Abbott of Australia, and Prime Minister Harper of Canada. We also appreciate that President Obama and the American Congress have helped Israel develop the Iron Dome missile defense system. Iron Dome saves Israeli lives. Without Iron Dome, hundreds of rockets would be landing on our cities and killing our civilians. But Iron Dome also saves Palestinian lives. Because if those missiles were landing in Israel, our government would have to respond with much greater force. But ladies and gentlemen, Israel deserves more than the support of the international community. Israel deserves the admiration of the international community. Because no military in history has taken greater care than the IDF to protect innocents of the other side. And this care is happening not when we're fighting a war by remote control thousands of miles away. It is happening when three quarters of our country, the equivalent of over 200 million Americans, are huddled in bomb shelters. Imagine what the United States would do if 2,000 rockets would be fired by a terror organization from contiguous territory and 200 million Americans would have to rush to bomb shelters day after day. Does anyone seriously believe that America would use less force? Does anyone seriously believe that Britain would use less force if 40 million Britons were in bomb shelters every day? Well, actually, in the case of Britain, we can do more than guess. We know how they responded. The only other time in history when thousands of rockets were fired at a civilian population was during World War II. The Germans fired 4,000 rockets at Great Britain. What was the British response? What was Churchill's response? Dresden. The carpet bombing of German cities. Now, I'm the last person in the world who will criticize Winston Churchill, who was perhaps the greatest leader of the 20th century. Churchill deserves a round of applause.
Interesting. What's interesting here is that Winston Churchill was the first thing reportedly that our president did when he came into office was to send the bust, you know, the head, the bust of Winston Churchill to send it back. And we're trying to figure out, you know, what means all this? Why would you send the bust back? And I think it's pretty cool that Dr. King is in the White House right now. And he's saying when you see people in the United Kingdom right now saying they're protesting and saying, don't do this. Wait a minute. You carpet bombed when somebody shot 5,000 rockets at you. And the thing about it is that every nation responds that way, except for Israel. Israel is able to come in there. And obviously the power, the grace, the mercy, the wisdom of God, the technology God has allowed them to have, the ability to just do surgical, as Secretary of State John Kerry said, supposedly off mic, it just couldn't have been off mic. You don't do a speakerphone when you're in a newsroom, right? Talking private stuff. Either way, but he was alluding to, he's aware that it's a pinpoint. It's a pinpoint operation, which means, I mean, think about a needle of a pen and being so specific that, you know, that's how you do surgery. Mm-hmm. And people come out better off because you're just removing the tumor. You're just removing mm-hmm. the cancer. You're just removing the problem part. And so, yeah, I mean, you can see this on the VFN torch, but one, we're trying to figure the first thing that happened was the very person that the Ambassador Dermer is praising here, Winston Churchill, is the first thing that came. We had a bust of him
yeah.
in the White House, and he packed it up, and the president didn't send it right back. I think it means a lot more than just that. But it's interesting. Churchill was the one that responded the same way, actually in a worse way, because this was in an excellent way to be able to do it now. But God's given them the wisdom to be able to do it. Churchill didn't have that kind of wisdom at that time. Last night in Washington, D.C., at the Christians United for Israel, honoring Israel, the ambassador, the Israeli ambassador, Ron Dermer.
We are going to interrupt this right now. We're going to go to break. When we come back, you're going to hear words by Israeli Ambassador Ron Dermer as he continues to talk about the Israeli Defense Force, Israel, and how grateful he is to America for what we're doing to help Israel. Join us when we get right back from this break. Let's go straight to Israeli Ambassador Ron Dermer. Watch this.
Last night in Washington, D.C., at the Christians United for Israel, honoring Israel, the ambassador, the Israeli ambassador, Ron Dermer, who you've heard before on VFN TV, spoke. And I'm talking about, this is a fresh perspective. This is so fresh. And as we just left off before the break, he was talking about, how nations typically respond, how they respond to these type of things. And when you look at the ratio or percentages, when you have 6 million people in the total population approximately in Israel, if that's equivalent to the ratio of America, as many people that are running for cover in Israel, that's like 200 million folks running for cover in America.
Mm-hmm. 200 million, right?
200 million run daily.
Yeah.
Over 2,000 rockets being fired. And I think we would respond, according to Jeff Miller, Congressman Jeff Miller, we would actually deal, remember the meeting, we will come down on somebody that was doing something like that. We had the ability to do it. But yet they're doing it differently. He said that, Great Britain carpet bombed those who was doing that to them, Germany. And he's coming in now talking after, so this is what happened right there. And he's praising Churchill, saying he saved his people. He kept mm-hmm. his people. If he wouldn't have done that, they say then Hitler would have came down and have taken over Great Britain. He would have taken over Spain, would have taken over France. And they said a byproduct of that, somebody says, then he would have taken over. This is not the ambassador saying, this is reports are. That they would have taken over Canada, because you're looking at Canada was under the Queen.
Wow.
And of course, then it's just a matter of time before they would have swept down in America. So America, the bus that got sent back was a man that said, stop it. You cannot take over the world. And, we talked about, hegemony before. People are really, that means taking over men who still want to rule the world. And that's what you see taking on right now with the caliphates mm-hmm. and all that. Mm-hmm. So here is Israel fighting against it, and them winning means we all win, especially democracy wins.
Yeah.
And definitely Christians and Jews win. So here is the ambassador right in the middle of his speech. This is the Israeli ambassador to the United States, Ron Dermer, addressing Christians United for Israel, the night of honoring Israel in Washington, D.C. last night.
Applause. I will not criticize the decisions he made to fight the Nazis and defend our common civilization. But at the same time, I will not accept, and no one should accept, criticism of Israel for acting with restraint that has not been shown and would not be shown by any nation on earth. I especially will not tolerate criticism of my country at a time when Israeli soldiers are dying so that innocent Palestinians can live.
You're noticing from time to time, you're going to see interruptions come in. There's different people that have planted themselves in the crowd. They're not, obviously not too popular, because as soon as they start carrying on, all the supporters of Israel stand up and begin to just wave Israeli American flags and just
and drown them out.
And drown them out. And the thing about it is, you're actually driving home the point you don't want driven home. It's better just to let them speak and go away. But now you're actually bringing attention to the world. But I think the ambassadors, you see, so when you see people rising up like that, that's what they're doing. They're actually, you know, just drowning out that particular voice. Notice the cameras don't even go on them. But also notice the secrets, their secret service, you know, comes up and begins to focus on that. But it's just good to see those type of things happen. Watch, he deals with it.
There is a section for moral idiots in the back of the room. Why don't you join your friends? Ladies and gentlemen, Israel did not have to send its soldiers into many places they are fighting today. We could have given people time to evacuate these areas, which we did anyway, and then bombed from the air all the buildings that were being used by fighters to store and fire weapons. But we didn't, as we have done time after time. We are sending our soldiers into this hornet's nest of Palestinian terror that is booby-trapped with mines and riddled with subterranean tunnels. Some are shamelessly accusing Israel of genocide and would put us in the dock for war crimes. But the truth is that the Israeli Defense Forces should be given a Nobel Peace Prize. For fighting, a Nobel Prize for fighting with unimaginable restraint. And one day, when the enemies of Israel and the moral idiots, who you may still hear from tonight, one day when the enemies of Israel are defeated and the moral idiots are silenced, people will look back and marvel at how the most threatened nation on earth never lost its nerve and always upheld its values. Never forget the moral difference between Israel and Hamas. Hamas deliberately targets the innocent. They want to kill as many civilians as possible. For them, the more civilians they kill, the greater the success. Israel does not target the innocent. We want to harm as few civilians as possible. For us, the more civilians that are harmed, the greater the failure. And what makes Israel's task so challenging is the unprecedented effort of Hamas that section's filling up. What makes Israel's task so challenging is the unprecedented effort of Hamas to endanger their own civilians. While the IDF is doing everything to keep Palestinian civilians out of harm's way, Hamas is doing everything to put Palestinian civilians into harm's way by ignoring IDF warnings to evacuate, by forcing Palestinians to serve as human shields, and by placing missile batteries next to playgrounds, hospitals, and homes. And you know why Hamas is doing this? It's not only because of the evil they represent, and it may not be politically correct, but this is evil. It's not just because of the evil. After all, an organization that is capable of producing scores of suicide bombers doesn't care a whit about Palestinian civilians using their lives. But Hamas also uses its strategy of human shields for another reason. Because it works. Because time after time, when Palestinian civilians die, because it works on people like that. Because time after time, when Palestinian civilians die, when those heart-wrenching pictures of women and children appear on television, and pictures that would move any decent human being, when those pictures are on television, the blame is placed on Israel and the pressure is put on Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, the question is whether we will finally break this cycle.
Truth is so refreshing. I can hear the ambassador talk, I mean, for quite a while, him and the prime minister, because they're just laying out the facts. Facts and truth are, you know, make all the difference in the world when they begin to dispel all the lies and all the myths. When we get back from this break, we're going to continue to talk more about this. But as we go to the break, I do want to talk to you about the special offer we have for you, Special Offer 2000. It's called This is an Act of War. Has World War III begun? And is this the mark of the beast? You don't want to miss it. Partner today and get this special offer right now. I want to share with you about our Special Offer 2000. You want to get this special offer. Just for partnering with VFN TV for any amount. It's yours. We want to get it to you. And it's called This is an Act of War. Has World War III begun? And is this the coming mark of the beast? These were the statements. This is an act of war by the French's president, François Hollande, right after the Paris attacks. If you remember, he closed the borders immediately. And what happened was a complete tragedy. But he says this is an act of war and that France was going to be engaged. But in this message, you're going to find out some very interesting and some startling information. One of which is that, is this a prelude to the mark of the beast? How are we going to get there? Are we on the verge of World War III? You're also going to find out about biometrics identity. They have a system already designed and they want to implement for 7 billion people where they're digitally tagging you with an ID. And guess what? It's already happened with 200 people living in India. You don't want to miss it. This is a time for the church to wake up. We just heard the ambassador, Israeli ambassador Ron Derman, speak at Christians United for Israel, a night to honor Israel. And I love truth. I love facts. And this is what he was quoted as saying. He said, it's time for the UN to find a moral compass. And it's time for the world to find a moral backbone. and it's time to take a stand against the use of human shields. And his remarks were in regard, remember, this was back in 2014. This was in regards to how Israel's military was acting in a very honorable way, doing everything they can do to minimize civilian casualties in this war, sending leaflets, text messages, phone calls.
Doing everything they can to warn the people in the Gaza Strip to basically, hey, vacate the area where we're about to respond to Hamas attacks.
Yeah, all the while Hamas is using people as human shields to protect themselves. Like, where is the United Nations? Well, let me tell you what's happening right now. Right now, in regards to the UN, it's being reported by Fox News that the Obama administration is waging a quiet effort on Capitol Hill to restore U.S. taxpayer funding for a United Nations organization that has long been accused of having an anti-Israel bias, according to the State Department funding requests obtained by the Free Washington Beacon. This is what's happening behind the scenes. We're going to make this available for you on the Torch so you can do your own reading and see for yourself. But this is what's happening. Time and time again, Israel does everything they can, Steve, to defend themselves, to protect their own civilian lives as well as a civilian of what, you know, Hamas in this case, the Palestinians living in the Gaza Strip. And yet there is a continual narrative and organized efforts coming from the UN to sanction Israel time and time again.
Yeah, putting the blame on Israel. And one of the important perspectives is what you're hearing the ambassador, you know, refer to, is that when you see images of innocent civilians or you're seeing civilians wounded, what would any good moral person do? You're going to respond and see that, when it's like you're not getting the full story. And it's so, like, it's so powerful when you're hearing truth, because it's expelling all of those partial stories and you're seeing, you know, what was the background? What was the events that led up to those engagements and returns of fire? And you're seeing, and it's like, Israel is not always 100% to blame. It's not. You have to get the full story.
You have to have context. In fact, as we're looking at things escalate in the Middle East, I mean, who knew that just from in Syria alone, they were caught in a civil war, that now Russia would be involved in playing such a vital role in the Middle East. Now Turkey's actually shot down a Russian fighter jet. And all of this is happening inches, practically, away from the Israel border, all the while Iran is getting approval for a nuclear deal. Listen, it's coming to that point. Mm-hmm. And the question is, are we on the verge of World War III, or has World War III already begun? And so we want to make sure that we have the proper narrative and we're aware of what's really happening, so that we can get behind Israel, continue to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and be ones who will continue to share the right perspective, as you're going to see public opinion of Israel continue to go down, because that's what they're trying to do. But I'll tell you what, the one who defends Israel is always watching, and he is the true Iron Dome. We want to pray for you. We ask you to please pray for us. Steve, would you close us out in prayer today?
Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for Ambassador Ron Derman. He's continuing to be just a voice of light. And we ask you, Lord, that you would bless Israel. We ask that you would bless Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and bless the Israeli people.
Yes.
We ask you, Lord, just for grace for our eyes and our hearts and our prayers to be continually vigilant and focused upon Israel. I mean, so many things happening in the world, God. Help us to stay focused. We ask you, Lord, that you would continue to defend Israel, Lord. We repent for our sins in America. We ask that you would forgive us for the innocent bloodshed that has been shed in America, Lord, and pour out a third great awakening, Lord, in Jesus' name, God.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for watching. God bless you.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. We'll